Accession number 19587, Real 4.
Did I have any Real 4?
The farmsteads had tracer bullets fired into the roofs, and I personally have seen women and children running from those particular dwellings, as obviously the bullets were ricocheting inside, and those farmsteads burnt all night and all the next day. But the powers that be of the United Nations decided that these buildings should not be inhabited by anyone, irrespective of whether they were civilian or military. Justice can come in many forms. There were deeds that had occurred in South Korea by some United Nations troops, as to the civilians, there was rough justice in one particular case where two American soldiers, their color is not material a fact here, but they were found by the roadside with their penises cut off, put in their mouth, and the word was that they had raped a girl from a village. I don't know to what authenticity there, but that was the word that was said. There were also atrocities committed not only by United Nations troops, but all troops ever since man began, and Korea was no exception to these particular atrocities, because people in states of mind that people do get whilst under active service can do things that they would not normally do when of sound mind. I'm not saying that they are warranted, I'm not saying that they are unwarranted, but they happen, and it's as well to remember the people that create these are not ogres, they are normal people that have been subjected to conditions that they just can't cope with, and they are personally involved with the loss of friends, colleagues, or fellow soldiers, and atrocities were committed to North Korean troops, as indeed there were atrocities committed to United Nations troops by the North Koreans.
Did you see these two corpses?
No. But it was pointed out to me that they were just there, because this was the time that I was informed not to go over there because of these anti-personnel mines and the situation that had occurred just recently. Maybe story, maybe fact. These things happen, and perhaps.
But did you see any mishandling of prisoners?
I never saw any. The regiment, as far as I know, never involved in that. Stories come out of the line of other regiments that were on capturing North Koreans, whereby they captured them, but they didn't make the company lines or the battalion lines because of what happened to those the previous nights. The regiments, I will will remain nameless. We were given talks by the armourers and by the Pioneer Corps a humorous situation prior to going in the line, into the line, which just comes to memory. And we were shown all the different types of anti-personnel mines and also anti-tank mines. And a box was shown to us, a wooden box filled with explosive that is quite harmless on its own, but given a detonator, could be quite bad. And even showed us what happens when you set fire to it. We did not know at the time that there was one particular person. So that looks like the box I was sat round my space heater. We go back and actually find, although there was no detonators in there, it was full of the explosive. We took it outside and set fire to it. But that particular fellow came from my hometown and was very used to petrol space heaters that we had in the rear echelons. Unfortunately, that was the way he died when he got demobbed. He lit a cigarette up with petrol. I would have thought that the amount of experience he had with petrol and seeing it, and he went all the way through as we played in a band together in Carol Levis' Discoveries together. And we went into the army together, we trained together, we came home, we done everything, we went to Korea, we came back. We worked together again in civilian life, and he killed himself with petrol, which was quite a sad story considering all that he went through. They had a change in name. In 1949, Chairman Tay announced that he created the creation of the Chinese People's Republic, which was known as the CPR. Chairman Mao had the People's Liberation Army, which was the PLA. But the people that used to do all the digging for the North Korean army and Chinese army were the Chinese People's Volunteers. Some people were not always aware of the appreciation of what the CPR, the CPV, and the PLA were. So that more or less says about the how the troops didn't actually do any working. They'd done the fighting en masse. And that again is something whereby the tannoys or the loudspeakers, WASD, which you've probably heard all about, and the bugles blowing, and when an attack was made by the North Korean army, then waves of soldiers were used. The burp gun was a very popular gun because of its fast firing. One group would go over the top and lay down on top of the wire. The next group would go over the burp guns. One person with a burp gun and probably 10 people with burp gun magazines. And as the person that was killed by that was the holder of the burp gun, it would be picked up by his number two or three or four, and the magazine people would be following those people, so that never was that burp gun ever let out or left behind, because the armaments they had were quite basic, actually. But a lot of those troops were trained in unarmed warfare, and therefore they could make an army with staves, and they were quite proficient in killing with staves and not to bother about ammunition, hence the waves and waves of people that were there to take over.
Did you experience a mass attack?
No, mostly it was in patrols. Because at that time, as I previously mentioned, the tactics had changed.
What did you think of the Chinese enemy? Or North Korean?
An excellent soldier. He was an excellent soldier inasmuch that he was very brave. He had no doubt in his mind that we, as soldiers from the United Nations, were there for no good purpose. He was indoctrined rather than educated. You can educate a man to do something and he does it with logic. You can indoctrinate a soldier to do something and he'll do it through just pure indoctrination, not caring, not knowing what the final result will be of his actions. And that is whereby people lose battles, because they have not sussed out what the results of their actions are going to be. But it doesn't always work out that way, as the masses will prove, that you cannot. You see, it was a war that never ended, really. Nobody took any ground, in as much that it was, I do this to you, you do this to me. You've done this to me, I'll do that to you. And it fizzled out. The peace talks, Panmunjom, the searchlight over the top of Panmunjom could be seen from the United Nations lines. As long as the searchlight shone over Panmunjom, the peace talks were going on, which gave troops in the line who could see that particular thing, searchlight, the incentive that, yeah, peace talks are going on. But it took not weeks, but months to decide on the agenda. And they would go there and meet for 5 or 10 minutes of a day. But in that period of time, the people were being killed. Can we take a break here, please? One thing that I remember is a publication that would come up daily, giving the cricket scores in Australia or football results, even the temperatures. And we found this quite interesting, with snippets of news from the UK.
And that was Crown News, was it?
And that was Crown News. Temperatures were, as I say, they would say what the daily temperature, but I know when I first got the career, it was quite cold, and just prior to Christmas, and went and got some food, and there was a receptacle for rinsing off your mess tins, and I put them in the hot water because there was steam coming from it, and I don't think I took more than a dozen paces, and the two mess tins were frozen together. That really shook me as to the amount of frost that there was there. Talking about the weather, and another aspect of the weather was that the hill in front, which we called Baldy, had a ring of trenches round the top, or a single ring of trench around the top, dug by the North Koreans. During one particular day, I remember vividly this hill being shelled unmercifully by the tanks and the long-range snipers, as we used to call them. And there was no snow left at all on there for maybe 30, 40, 50 feet from the crest of the hill down. Activities ceased at stand 2 in the evening. But being on OP, I was watching this hill, and in the course of 3 to 4 hours, the snow that had fallen on top of the hill was being covered with soil being brought out of the trenches by the workforce that the North Koreans would have them. They changed the whole contour of the hill during the night by digging out the trenches that had been blown in during the day. We wore snowsuits at times, and the snowsuits were a bit restrictive. The parkers and long johns and string vests were all part of the Korean thing, and the string vests, when one was carrying heavy weights, would cut into your shoulders and leave the impressions of the string right quite deeply into your skin. There was a lot of mixed humour in the Welsh Regiment, as there were people from North and South Wales, and they had quite a sarcastic, I would say, humour sometimes, that between the North and South Wales lads. And of course there was us yokel lads, which were coming from the South, and the witty humour of the Midlanders. So all in all, we had a very good mixture of humour. All good. Even the wry humour was quite funny at times.
How did the different groups get on with each other?
I don't think they were ever really deep bosom pals, because the Welsh tended to keep more restricted to their own. It wasn't that we couldn't get to them. I don't think they wanted to come to us. It was because... But they even had that with a North Walian and a South Walian, that they in turn didn't get on too well together. But I don't think in the theatre of war it had any effect, because we were working as a team, and the team consisted in many cases of mixtures of all three groups. One other thing that some years later, perhaps it may have been 1980, I returned to the Castle Barracks in Cardiff and went through the Welsh Museum, and lo and behold, in the museum was the Welsh dragon, the flag that flew over our regiment whilst we were in Korea. That exact flag I thought I'd seen before, thousands of miles away. A bit tattered now, but that was there, flying over headquarters on the main battalion lines.
Did you say something earlier off the record about the attitude of the enemy towards the Welsh Regiment?
Yes, I found that this was the word that went about, that they were very cautious of the Welsh, because the Welsh, like the North Koreans, were good miners, and they thought that the Welsh was going to dig a tunnel through the valley and come up in their midst, and we thought exactly the same as them, that they would tunnel and come up in our midst. So I think there was probably, and that may even be borne out by the fact of the lack of perhaps real activity that occurred in the period that we were there, that they respected the Welsh Regiment for its skills.
How do you feel now about having served in national service in Korea?
Like all people relating on experiences, one looks at the good times. There were humorous times even in the height of battle. Sometimes there was something that made me laugh. Did I think it worthwhile? Yeah, I think it was worthwhile. I didn't mind being a conscript. It done a lot for me as regards character building, and it taught you responsibilities. It also taught you to give people sometimes the benefit of the doubt in a group, you would help the weakest. And as it was mainly said by one NCO, we're all here, forget I got tapes on my arm, but we're all here to survive and help. And I think them words went down, and that was said by Alt-2 Williams, who was a platoon commander. Where he lives now, I don't know, but he was quite a very fresh complexion. And he was very brave, I think, with his leadership quality. He never showed fear. He was quite young, and I believe I'm right in saying that he was a regular soldier. There was quite a number of regular soldiers. They accepted the conscripts, and we respected the regular soldiers. So as a group of people, I think there was quite a lot of respect between the north and south of England, the north and south of Wales, and the group as a whole.
Was Welsh language used in the battalion?
Never used. I never heard it spoken. I say I never heard it spoken. I never used it. I never heard it used frequently. Occasionally, it would be used, but not in the presence of people that could not understand it. It wasn't used like that. It was used in humour very often.